This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, December 30th. I'm Gavin Dahl with headlines. Vandalism at three Aspen natural gas pump stations has resulted in 3,500 residents and businesses without heat or hot water. Aspen Police Chief Bill Lynn said to the Colorado Sun on Monday that whoever carried out the sabotage had some familiarity with the supply lines. While the words "Earth First" were scrawled on one of the pipes, it's not clear the environmental activist group was actually involved. Getting customers back online has been a painstaking process for Black Hills Energy Colorado. First, they had to make sure all gas meters were off, then purge the system so it'd be ready to be repressurized. Finally, technicians had to go door to door to relight each customer's gas appliances. Reportedly, 2,000 customers, about 65% of those impacted, had service restored as of late last night. Yesterday, the city of Aspen declared a local disaster emergency in response to the outage. According to the Aspen Daily News, the declaration gives the city manager there access to broader disaster and emergency plans for aid and assistance. Meanwhile, Black Hills Energy gave away 6,000 space heaters to help prevent water lines freezing in the winter temperatures. Across Colorado's high country, resort community real estate sales have set records since July. A story this week in the Colorado Sun outlines real estate sales from six Colorado resort counties that are nearly $1 billion greater than all sales last year. Driving this trend are white-collar workers leaving urban areas as they can work from anywhere with strong internet service. September sales in Pickens County, for example, were up 458% from last year. New buyers are mostly from Denver, but also from Texas, California, and Florida. Governor Jared Polis says health officials believe they have identified the first confirmed case of the COVID-19 variants recently discovered in the UK. Because the patient has no travel history, the source was likely community spread. Scott Franz reports for Capital Coverage.
Some scientists say this variant is a more contagious version of COVID-19. The strain is called B117. Its discovery in the United Kingdom has led to strict lockdowns. Polis says a man in his 20s in Elbert County, southeast of Denver, is the first confirmed case of the variant in the United States. The state health department says the man did not travel recently and is recovering in isolation. Dr. Rachel Herlihy, Colorado's top infectious disease expert, said there is still a lot to learn about the new strain.
But what we understand so far is that it doesn't appear that these strains, these variants in the UK and South Africa are causing more severe illness. We also don't have any indication at this time that the vaccine would be less effective.
Polis says he will talk more about Colorado's case at a press conference Wednesday. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
To combat climate change, the world needs to move quickly from fossil fuels to renewable energy. Right now, that means lithium-ion batteries. Our region is home to the only lithium mine in the country, with more proposed. But digging this metal out of the ground to make those green batteries isn't so green. The Mountain West News Bureau's Noah Glick has part two of our series.
It's a brisk day in central Nevada with the wind whipping through the ancient volcanic rocks of the Silver Peak Range. I'm here with Patrick Donnelly. He's the Nevada State Director for the Center for Biological Diversity.
Go up on top of the mountain. Hell of a nice view up there.
But we're not here for the view. We're here for something a little less impressive, but what Donnelly says is of critical importance.
Those are mostly buckwheats there. We can go up and look at them, these low clumping plants.
The team's buckwheat is a rare wildflower that lives on just 21 acres of this area. As far as we know, it doesn't exist anywhere else in the world. And its entire habitat lies within the project boundaries of a proposed lithium mine.
And this is the smallest population of buckwheat, the smallest subpopulation. So it's extremely vulnerable to disturbance.
Donnelly is concerned that the entire species could be wiped out even before mining gets underway. And he's been petitioning for protections under the Endangered Species Act.
We're in the middle of an extinction crisis, and it's very clear that human actions, like mining, have precipitated that extinction crisis.
Ioneer Limited is the mining company behind this lithium project. It says it spent more than 3 years collecting data in order to accurately count, understand, and ultimately protect the species. Bernard Rowe is the managing director.
A large part of the population, and importantly, the habitat that the population grows in, we are not touching. Not only are we not sort of touching it with the proposed mining activities, but we will also be protecting those areas.
Rowe says the company plans to fence off habitat and is partnering with the University of Nevada, Reno, to study whether the plant can grow in hothouses or be transplanted somewhere else. Rowe says Ioneer is not trying to destroy any biodiversity. In fact, he argues the mine will ultimately help the planet in the long run.
I don't think there's any doubt that if we're going to combat climate change, then we have to tackle CO2 emissions. And the gorilla in the room there is transportation.
The antidote to that gorilla, he says, electric cars. Rowe says his mine could produce enough lithium for 400,000 electric vehicles every year.
Getting up towards 500,000 electric vehicles from source from one domestic supply is significant.
And it's also in line with federal priorities. The Trump administration added lithium to the country's critical minerals list back in 2018. That means more lithium mines are coming to the region, including this one and another in rural Humboldt County in northern Nevada. Edward Bartell runs a ranch nearby. He believes that mine presents more environmental issues than it's worth.
Well, originally I was thinking, well, lithium, that's great. We all need to be doing our part. But then once I found out about the project, I'm horrified by it.
His biggest concern is the amount of chemicals being used. According to the mining company's own estimates, the process would create 2,900 tons of sulfuric acid every day at the start and double that when it reaches full production. That process could lead to serious health effects if any of that material were to leach out into the air or ground, or if there was an accident during transportation.
I mean, it's not like we're just hauling lumber or something. It's pretty dangerous chemicals that are going to be hauled up and down the road. So if there's an accident or something, that could potentially impact people.
And then there's the fuel side of it. The company will consume more than 26,000 gallons of diesel fuel every day, which contributes to pollution and disease. Bartell started a website called StopLithium.com to try to organize the community to protest the mine, but he says it's been a challenge with the ongoing pandemic. Alexei Zavatsky is the CEO of the mining company behind the project, Lithium Nevada. He says he's not the enemy.
So I had appreciation for climate change when it was still largely a theory, but I saw it happening firsthand, living in the mountains, living above tree line.
Zavatsky says he got into this work because he saw what was happening to the planet and wanted to help. And he says this project will help limit environmental effects.
The impacts of this project are justified for those reasons, the sustainability aspects that we've incorporated into the design, but also what our products are going to be used for, and that is for lithium batteries, for electric vehicles, and storage of renewable energy.
But are lithium batteries the only option? More on that next time. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Noah Glick.
Join us tomorrow for the final installment of the series as we explore the future of lithium and look at alternatives. That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. Today is Jody Peterson's last day on staff at KVNF. Now that she moved to the Front Range, I just want to acknowledge the impact her journalistic instincts, editorial prowess, and network of contacts have had on the forward progress of our KVNF news team. She's also a great friend. Thank you, Jody, and thank you for listening and supporting Mountain Grown Public Radio.